supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, today's special. Salaamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special under the topic of keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive. Please be with us.
Oh Ramadan, Month of Mercy you are. Welcome Ramadan, oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, Month of Mercy you are, welcome Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
Today, Monday, is the 30th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran. This is chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 39 to 42.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فيومئذ لا يسأل عن ذنبه إنس ولا جان.
Then on that day, none will be asked about his sin among men or jinn.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ.
The criminals will be known by their marks, and they will be seized by the forelocks and the feet.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Following an account of the formative occurrences of resurrection, the blessed verse 39 treats of the state of sinners on that day, saying that jinn and men shall not be questioned concerning their sins, since everything shall be evident on the day of emergence, and faces reflect everything. However, the point is that the day of resurrection shall be a very long day, and man has to pass different paths and stations, and spend some time at each place. In this part, our topic, keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive. We all know that one of the purposes of Ramadan is for us to develop taqwa. Ramadan is like a training period for us. Hence, we shall try to follow the rhythm throughout the whole year. Generally, habits take around 21 days to form. Therefore, after the 30 days of Ramadan, we shall aim that whatever we learned in the month is carried forward to the rest of the year. May Allah keep us on the right path and give us the motivation to make every month as blessed as the month of Ramadan. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we're going to be concerned with our duties regarding the effects of the month Ramadan in us throughout the year. Since this kind of fasting brings about, thorough fasting or complete fasting brings about the divine attention and divine grace because of our sincere observances of these rites and rituals, it would be very much desirable to receive such grace of such divine grace, not only in the month Ramadan, which is special, which is especially selected for receiving the divine grace. Rather, we find that the month Ramadan, the effects of the psychological or ritual effects of the month Ramadan may and should be extended to other year, other months throughout the year. That is, although in other months of the year we are permitted to eat and drink, however, we must be attentive to our religious duties, to the religious capital that we have received throughout observing the Ramadan rituals, and to be able to benefit from this religious capital throughout the year, up to the next Ramadan to come. Because of this, we are expected to practice piety in other months of the year. It would be really pointless to observe religious piety in the month Ramadan and to ignore it altogether in other months of the year. It means that it would mean that we believe in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only in the month Ramadan, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present throughout the year, no doubt. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present everywhere and at any time, so we have to believe, we have to behave in such a way that our behavior and our way of, our mode of treating other people indicates that we believe in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, it's expected to internalize in ourselves the ritual or spiritual effects of the month Ramadan and the benefit that we receive from this religious capital. Thank you.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind. Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
IRIB English Radio, and today's special you're listening to. Now we have some ways to practice Ramadan values throughout the year. In this part, practice Islamic spirituality in your daily routine. Dear friend, gathering at your local mosque for nightly prayers may be over after Ramadan. However, there are other ways to incorporate faith-based practices in your day-to-day basis besides answering the regular call to prayer. If you live near a mosque, consider praying there during other prayers time besides Friday prayers. Pray as a family to form closer bonds with your parents or your children, living with housemates. Praying together is one way to get to know them better. Make it a point to do after every prayer and before going to sleep at night. The other way is this one. You can dhikr and supplicate at any time of the day. Try it next time you'll stuck in traffic or even during your workouts. And the other one is making time to recite the Quran daily. Accompany your reading with a good translation to build a better understanding of Islam. As previous episodes of today's special, that we looked at some ways to promote better health by fighting inflammation, we continue that. While acute inflammation is a normal immune process used to help fight off infections, chronic inflammation can have serious consequences for your health. Research shows that inflammation may be involved in the development of chronic conditions such as heart disease, cancer, and arthritis. Some studies have found that fasting can help decrease levels of inflammation and help promote better health. One study in 50 healthy adults showed that the intermittent fasting for 1 month significantly decreased levels of inflammatory markers. Another small study discovered the same effect when some fasted for 12 hours a day for 1 month.
One of the most important things to keep in mind when we try to maintain our spirituality is, you know, there's a beautiful conversation between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi and Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this was after the Prophet delivered his famous month of Ramadan sermon. After the Prophet delivered this sermon, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib approaches the Prophet. And he asks him, and many of you are familiar with this exchange. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, ma afdalu al-a'malu fi hadha ash-shahr? What is the best thing to do in this month, in the month of Ramadan? What does the Prophet say? And by the way, the question that the Imam is asking doesn't only apply to the month of Ramadan. This is the best thing that you can do in the month. If it's the best thing to do in the month of Ramadan, then you can imagine that it's probably the best thing to do in life. مَا أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالُ فِي هَذَا الشَّهْرِ What is the best thing to do in this month? Listen to what the Prophet says. He says, أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالُ الْوَرَعْ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ The best thing that you can do is to refrain from committing sin.
Inshallah, we continue our topic that was keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive on another episode of today's special. Until then, we keep you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
والغفران ومجالسة القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is what Hazrat Fatimah Zahra, peace be upon her, told her loving husband, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, on her deathbed. Let my death not dishearten you. you have to serve Islam and humanity for long time to come. And let not my sufferings embitter your life. Please promise me, O Ali.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners, because in many countries in the Islamic world and the non-Islamic world, today is the day of Eid, Eid al-Fitr, which is one of the most happiest holidays in the Muslim calendar. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith and tradition, which has been narrated in the book Nahjul Balagha, the very famous book, which contains the sermons and letters and aphorisms of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And this is the 428th aphorism, which has been narrated in that book. In this hadith, in this tradition, the Imam alayhi salam, he mentions Eid and he talks a little bit about it. Let's see what he says. The Imam says, this Eid, meaning this holiday, this festival of Eid al-Fitr, is truly only a happy day, is truly only a holiday and a festival for the person whose fastings have been accepted. لِمَنْ قَبِلَ اللَّهُ صِيَامَهُ. Right? For the person who fasted in the month of Ramadan, and not only fasted in the month of Ramadan, but Allah accepted his fast. So it's not simply the Eid and the festival for the person who fasted. A lot of times, right, on this day, we feel very happy, we feel very satisfied and delighted that the month of Ramadan is finished and our fasting is completed. And, you know, we were able to perform all the fasts in the month of Ramadan. But the Imam says, this is not enough. It's not enough that we fasted for us to be happy on this day. Rather, we should be sure that Allah accepted our fast. Of course, we can never be truly sure that Allah accepted our acts of obedience, such as our fasting or not. But we should at least do everything that has been prescribed and has been set out as a condition for the acceptance of this of these acts of obedience, such as fasting, right? And then leave the rest to Allah and hope that He accepts it. And this is goes back to two very important principles in Islamic ethics, which is fear and hope, right? The mu'min, the believer, is always between fear and hope. These are the two wings of the believer, as it has been described in the hadith, which take him towards the proximity of Allah, fear and hope, or hope and desire. In continuation, the Imam says, he said that the Eid is truly only a holiday, is only a festival for the person whose fasts were accepted. And he says, and whose night worship and whose worship that he performed in the night, who's standing up in the night for prayer, has been appreciated and accepted by God. This is the person who can truly enjoy Eid and consider it a festival and a holiday for himself. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at Eid and it being a festival for the person whose acts of obedience were accepted. In the words of Imam Ali, we once again congratulate you on this most auspicious day. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters. This is Habibullah Fasizada with the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Inshallah, can you say hello to our sisters and brothers?
Hello.
Salam
alaikum. Salam.
Salam, salam.
How are you? Are you good?
And on behalf of them, I say alaikum assalam. Okay, inshallah. So, our sisters and brothers, thank you so much for being with us, having this kind of classes. I mean, level one, and now we are, alhamdulillah, in level two. So, come to this. There are six words that they have the waw mad, the oo sound, but we don't have to produce oo sound.
Why? Oo sound?
No, oo. Just O.
Yes, I say O.
Okay, man, how to say?
Yeah.
They say that do not stretch my sound. I have the O sound. I have the stretching sound, but do not stretch me. There are six words.
Yeah.
Always, whenever in the Quran, in any ayah you see them, you don't have to stretch the sound. For example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, we have أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. It's written Alif on the top of Alif Hamza, on the top of Hamza, Dhamma, so
Yes,
then
yes.
It's followed by Waw Sakin. So that's the case. We got to stretch the sound. No. Remember that there are six words. You don't have to stretch their sound.
Here, aqimul wazna. We can't do for mu because the next word lam is.
That is the next case that I wanted to say.
It's sakin.
Great.
Ulaika ala hudan min rabbihim wa ulaika humul muflihun.
Sometimes, yeah. This waw maddi, alif maddi, ya maddi, sometimes they are silent letters as well.
Yeah.
That when they are followed by alif and lam. Okay? Aqimu, if it was there wasn't any alif lam, al wazna, okay? So we would stretch the sound. But aqimu, we'll talk about it now. There are six words. Remember that these six words are like this, okay? So we have one. Uli, the word uli, okay? It can come in different parts of the Quran, we have it. So uli, it's written uli, but you got to pronounce it uli.
Uli.
How, Mahdi? Uli, uli.
Is it because
without waw?
Is there, oh yeah, because there's the ma.
The six exceptions are there, okay? But,
if it's uli but without a waw,
you gotta read it without the waw.
Yeah, uli. So like it can either be, it's either read that way or there's a dhamma.
There is a dhamma, but you gotta read it without waw. You don't have to stretch the sound. So like we have in the Quran, uli ba'asin shadidin, uli ba. You gotta read this uli ba'asin with waw madhi. But the rule says no, it's an exception. You gotta read this way, uli ba. Uli ba's, uli ba, uli, not say uli, no. Uli ba'asin shadeed. Alright? The first word. What is the first word, Minha Hussain? Uli is pronounced uli.
Uli.
Without the waw. Li has the stretching sound. But the u doesn't have the stretching sound. Next one, ulu. There are, these six words are kind of the same, okay? They are close to one another.
Ulu,
they are friends.
Ulu.
Uli, next one.
Ulu.
Ulu.
Ulu. Ulu.
Ulu. Ulu. But you gotta pronounce it without waw at the beginning. Ulu.
Ulu.
Ulu al-albab.
Ulu al-albab.
Wa ma yatadhakkaru illa
ulu al-albab.
Ulu al-albab. Ulu al-albab, no. So if you say ulu al-albab, the meaning maybe it's not, it will not be understandable. Ulu al-albab, no? Okay?
Ul-bab.
وَمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا ulu al-albab. Not ulu al-albab. No. Ulu al-albab. So this is the second word.
أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقُّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى. إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب.
The first word.
Sir, if you say أولو الألباب.
Bab means door in Arabic.
Ah, no, bab also means wisdom.
And what?
Not that bab.
Bab means door, I think. Yeah, bab means door.
Yeah, bab means door. Bab is an English name as well. So the second word was Ulu. Uli, Ulu. Remember? So your name is Mr. Ulu. His name is Mr. Ulu. Uli, Ulu. Okay? So let's give them names too.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
There are some other words. The next word is ulati.
Ulati.
Sir, they are both
ulati.
Yeah, they are easy. I told you they are kind of the same. So uli,
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 ulu, ulu,
uli. I am uli ulu.
Okay. Ulati.
Ulati.
Again, you gotta skip the wow sound. Okay. Ulati.
Ulati.
Ulati. Okay?
Yes.
Ulati. So three words. Say uli, which is pronounced uli. Ulu, which is pronounced
ulu.
Ulu. Ulati, which is pronounced
ulati.
Ulati.
But it's all, sir, are they all written different?
No, they are different in meaning. They are different.
No, I mean like they're written.
Huh?
Like are they written different?
Yeah, they are written different. So uli, so it's like, ends with ya. Ulu ends with wow.
So ulati like ends with spell with Google.
That's clear. Yeah, the fourth word.
Yeah. So like here, wa aqimul wazna. Here is mim zama.
Yeah. We will talk about it. It's the next case.
Zama and it's alif with something unup. We'll
talk about it. It's the next case. Let's finish these six words, okay?
This is Jesus.
So the next word, which the number four. Number four is kind of the same as the previous words. We have uli, ulu, ulate, ulae, ha ulae. You don't say ha ulae, no. Ha ulae, ula, 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 no. Okay? Ula, no. It's written ula, but you gotta read it ula without the vowel. All right? This is number four. Number five. Number five is the word ulaika.
Ulaika. Sorry.
I said it at the beginning. Ulaika. Ulaika. So it's written ulaika. If you take a look, it's written ulaika. There is a vowel. But you gotta read it ulaika.
Ulaika.
So review those five words. One is left. Uli.
Uli.
Ulu, ulate, ulae, next one, ulaika.
Say his ulate.
He's Mahdi.
Ulate.
No, minhal.
Yeah, minhal. Ulae.
Ulae.
Okay.
Ulaim lulutu.
Okay, next one. There is another word. This is different from the other ones. Saurikum.
But
still it's Sa'urikum.
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 Sa'urikum. But you gotta skip that wall. Sa'urikum.
وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْعِظَةً وَتَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَخُذْهَا بِقُوَّةٍ وَأْمُرْ قَوْمَكَ يَأْخُذُوا بِأَحْسَنِهَا سَأُرِيكُمْ دَارَ الْفَاسِقِينَ.
Let's review those six words. One. Uli. I will say the exact form, okay? You got to read it without that stretching sound, okay? Okay. What?
Uli.
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 Uli. What?
Uli.
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 Okay, next one.
Ulu.
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 Stretch the sound. Ulu. Next one.
Ulate.
Ulate. Ulate.
Ulate.
Ulate.
Ulate.
Just the dhamma. Next one. Ulae.
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 Ulae. The fifth one.
Mala.
Ulaika.
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 And the last one. Saurikum. Saurikum.
Saurikum.
So, Min Ahmad Hussain, say this six words. Let me see if you have memorized.
Uli.
So, it is pronounced?
Uli.
Uli. Next one.
Ula.
Ula-e. It's pronounced?
Ula-e.
It's pronounced?
Ula-e.
Ula-e. Next one.
Ula-te.
Ula-te. It's pronounced? Ula-te.
Ula-te. Ula-ika.
Ula-ika, mashallah.
Ula-ika.
Ulaika is pronounced Ulaika. Yes. And the fifth one?
I forgot.
Ulu. Your name.
It is. It is. It was Ula.
Ulute.
Ulute. Ulute.
I think it's a Japanese word. Ulu. Ulute.
Ulute Bashkin.
It's not in the Quran. Yeah.
No, Suki is a Japanese
word. Ulu. And the last one? The last one? Seen it had. So, Saurikum.
Saurikum.
Saurikum. So, alhamdulillah, this one as well finished. Remember the six words, okay? So, inshallah, we'll take a break after reciting the salawat and giving thanks to IRB English Radio for this kind of Quranic sessions. In behalf of everyone, and maybe our brothers and sisters, they really think IRB English Radio in cooperation with several international schools network who hold this kind of sessions. May inshallah Allah Almighty reward them the reward of Jannah. Let's recite a salawat, inshallah we will be back.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
وحبسني عن نفعي بعد آمالي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورنا ونفسي و ومطالي يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي.
Regarding this part of the Kumail supplication, in which Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Ya Sayyidi, فَأَسْأَلُكَ بِعِزَّتِكَ أَنْ لَا يَحْجُبَ عَنْكَ دُعَائِي سُوءُ عَمَلِي وَفِعَالِي. We were discussing the concept of soul, also the fact that some hindrances, some impediments will block the way of ascension of our supplications to the Almighty Allah. We said that among the most important factors in blocking the way of supplications is the committing sins, which is caused by the alienation of the heart. And this is the direct effect of sins. Now, there are some obstacles and factors of the ascent of the deeds that are mentioned throughout our Islamic sources. Both of them have direct relation with the actions of man. The obstacles are the ones that hinder the elevation of deeds to the Almighty Allah, among which is supplication. But factors help in the ascension of the deeds to the Almighty Allah. We'll try to have a look at the first category, which is in question here. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam is warning us about our deeds and acts that will veil our supplication from Almighty Allah. In this regard, Imam Ba'ir alayhi salam says, It so happens that a person asks Almighty Allah for a need, and it is in his power to grant him his need in the near future. But the person commits a sin. So Allah, the Blessed, the Exalted, says to the angel, Do not grant his need and deprive him of it. For he has become the subject of my wrath and deserves to be deprived from me.
Oh Allah, my trials and sufferings have increased and my evilness has worsened. My good deeds have diminished and my misdeeds have become firm. And remote hopes restrain me from profiting with good deeds. And the world has deceived me with its allurements. And my own self has been affected by treachery and my delay. Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence.
Thank you, Allah, God, let me hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So throughout our traditions, we have this very important issue, that committing sin will act as an obstacle to our supplication, and sometimes it will be the obstacle of the ascension of all our deeds, not just our supplications. So what we need to consider in our minds is that there are some obstacles, there are some factors, on the other hand, which will elevate the deeds to the Almighty Allah when they are unable to ascend on their own. Some of these factors have appeared in a prophetic narration, which we do not want to refer to right now, but that I just said for our remembrance. So we understand from this word of Imam Ali alayhi salam that wrongdoing is a veil that prevents humans from receiving the divine blessings and mercy, as well as from the fulfillment of the supplications, except if the sinner repents from his sins. Evil deeds take away the desire and mood of supplication from the servant. Evil deeds will prevent the servant from coming to Almighty Allah's presence. Even if a sinful servant succeeds in calling Allah, even if he succeeds in asking him his requests, his supplications would not likely be fulfilled. Deprivation of the servant from the fulfillment of his supplications is in fact him being expelled from the mercy of his Lord, and it has been quoted from a mystical lover of Allah that it is harder for me to get deprived of supplicating than being deprived from its fulfillment. That is why we mentioned there are two aspects in our supplications. There are two benefits. The minor one is the fulfillment of supplication, but the greater one is that iqbal, that turning of the Almighty Allah towards the servant, that paying attention, that the servant knows there is someone listening to him, that the servant knows he has got the mercy, he has been bestowed the mercy of talking to his Lord, he has the remembrance of his Lord, and he is benefiting from the dhikr of his Lord. So in this part of the Kumail supplication, the supplicant beseeches to the Almighty and asks him, "My Lord, hinder the effect of my evil doing on the fulfillment of my supplications, so that I can keep on supplicating and you continue accomplishing my prayers out of your mercy." Brothers and sisters, we will, God willing, finish discussing this part of the Kumail supplication in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing. I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
Today, dear Sheikh, I would like to talk to you about this very, perhaps strange phenomena we find in teenagers who are growing up. And that is, you find these teenagers wearing some of the most strange and outrageous clothing, like you can imagine. Like, even if I say spiky hair, somebody's going to run up and say, I've seen worse. But at least spiky hair, torn jeans, or maybe they only wear black and they also put makeup on their faces and fingernails and, you know, these trends that are...
The gothics.
The gothics, the emo punks and all that. So what's up with that?
This is, again, one of the characteristics that that exist in the teenage group by itself, right?
Right, yeah.
And the characteristic is being focused upon themselves, right? They're focused upon themselves rather than others. They're more focused on, like we mentioned, they're focused upon their own thoughts. Like they're focused upon
pleasing
their
themselves,
own,
you mean?
Not pleasing themselves, trying to find themselves. I always right. bring this back to the establishing their personality type. So they're trying to figure out their own thought processes. What do I think? What am I more inclined towards? What subjects do I like? Am I into science? Am I into maths? Am I into arts? And then from not just the logic and psychological and mental self-focused and self-centrism where they're trying to explore themselves, but also physically they're focused upon themselves because the never really paid attention to their body, but suddenly you see when they enter teenage, there are physical changes happening in them. Apart from the hormonal changes, apart from the puberty and all other things, they start noticing that their physical facial features are changing. Now the eyes are looking different, nose is growing a little more, lips are turning pinkish, or ears are growing bigger and start growing mustache and beard and stuff like that.
Right.
Now they start paying attention to themselves, and you will find girls particularly spending a lot of time in front of the mirror. Why? Because they never paid attention to themselves earlier, but now they're going through some physical changes, and now they start comparing themselves with others, not from the point of view of their thought structure and their ideologies, but also from their physical structures.
Their appearances.
That
right.
what looks good on me? Does this color look good on me? Should I wear eyelashes? Should I wear eyeliner? Should I wear lip balm? Should I wear lip lash? All those things, you know, makeup, to what extent, what kind of a dress, toned jeans, untoned jeans, purple color, blue color.
So is their appearance, dear Sheikh, based upon the social norms in a society, you would say?
See, every society has its own social norms. But again, there's this element that we discussed in the earlier section, that the element of, if you don't listen to me, I am not going to listen to you. Therefore,
what?
If you tell me not to break rules, I am going to break rules. So if you tell me that a decent dressing is a jeans which is not torn, I'm going to wear a torn jeans.